This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Defective Speech, Pastor Scott encourages us to use the power of the tongue to edify others and stifle negative words. This message was recorded on Sunday, March 22, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope. Hey, want to thank Pastor Aaron for a wonderful message last week, Living My Life in God's Way, you know, discover, develop, and deploy the D words. That was so powerful. Thank you very much for giving that message. Thank you for allowing me that break where I could not be so nervous and I could sleep well Saturday night. Man, it's so good to be here each Sunday, each week. We have so many wonderful people. And also, you know, if you do have prayer requests during the week, you can also go to our brand new website and you can submit a prayer request through there. It's under the Contact Us, and you can email a prayer request directly to us if you wish. There's also news of upcoming events on there, so go check it out. This morning, we're going to be talking about the words that come out of our mouth. You know, when we do church here, we come across people, friends, who really, they kind of check you on what you say. And they make you really think before you say things. People call me on the words that come out of my mouth. And, you know, in the place that we're at, in the community that we serve in, East Hawaii, in the district of Puna, you really have to watch. One day, I was after service, we were out there, the guys, we were eating, and we were talking story, and then I had to go to the store to grab some ice. So I said, I got to go pick up ice. And Jay Wynn said, you cannot say that out here in Puna. You got to call it frozen water. And I was thinking, like, what? And like, oh, well, I understand if you know. Those of you laughing, I know why you're laughing. Been there, huh? And then the following week, Craig, he came to church with a nice big pot of chili. You know, and you know Craig, he can cook. He can really cook. And then right after service, he had to leave. So he yells across the room, "Hey, Pastor, I'm gonna come to your house afterwards to pick up my pot." And I was like, whoa, that didn't sound right. You know, you look like, everybody must have like, what? Pastor get pot. No wonder he always happy. No, I'm happy because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, we were, you know, Wednesday morning, we do devotions up at Blaine's in Orchardland. And a few weeks ago, we were reading in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the beginning of the church, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we were reading and we were discussing and we were looking at the disciples and we were thinking like, man, almost every city that they went to, the disciples got stoned. Huh? Can you imagine the people outside listening in on our conversations? Yeah, I gotta go buy ice. Yeah, coming to pick up my pot. Hey, the disciples got stoned. If you didn't know any better, you would think like, what is going on with this church? They're a bunch of drug-dealing, cannabis-worshipping people. So, you know, we gotta watch how we use our words. We need to be careful with our words because people might get the wrong idea. They might get the wrong message about us here at New Hope East Hawaii. You know, I've been hurt more by words than by punches or power tools or fish hooks. I got hurt once with a fish hook when I hooked my hand, but I got hurt more by words from people. You know, Solomon, who was the wisest guy, said this in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit." So number one, words can give or take life. How many of you had words spoken to you that just like zapped the life out of you? Man, and how many of you, the words came out of your mouth? Yeah. You know, about a couple of weeks ago, was early in the morning, and my wife and I were getting ready to go to work, and we were watching the news. And there was the news about the tourists in Rome, those two ladies who carved their name in the Colosseum, and they got arrested. And when I heard that on the news, oh, you heard the things that came out of my mouth was like, oh, this is stupid. Why would you do something like that? And my wife called me and said, listen to what you're saying. That's terrible. Even if they did something stupid, I need not say it. So she kind of called me, and I was like, wow, I guess you're right. Even if it was a very not smart thing to do, I should not have said it. You know, a person's words, maybe you can call it the fruit of their mouth, the harvest of their lips, can benefit when the person's words are positive and uplifting. However, one's words can bring death as well as life. You know, as this population over here increases, and as they continue to work on the road, how many of you got caught in that traffic? And how many of you got mad being stuck in that traffic? How many of you were saying, what is, whoever designed this was dumb? Yeah, because we all got caught in that traffic. And as things build up, get more people, more traffic, you know, the stuff that comes out of our mouth can be really polluting or acidic, can be really damaging. You know, the very thing that we say that damages is the very thing that we do sometimes. And the things that we say and the things we want to do is the thing sometimes that push people away from Christ. The very thing we want to do is win them over to Jesus Christ. But the very things we say makes them say like, oh, no, 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 I don't want to be like that. Sometimes, for me, I call it DSD, defective speech disorder. How many of you know what that is? Defective speech disorder. How many of you believe your spouse has it? Don't raise your hand. You can get in trouble. But yeah, I raise my hand because I know I have it. But the thing is, a lot of times my defective speech, and I thank God, it comes out when I'm alone in my car. But see, that still does not make it right. Amen? You know, the symptoms for this is saying things that brings death. Anything that does not bring God glory. Sometimes it's saying things that you wish you could take back. Cursing, grumbling, whining. I described half of us here already. Amen? Yeah, the Bible has so many things regarding our speech and how we use it. And as I studied this, I realized that, man, I could go on with this for weeks and weeks and months. But James, he puts it really good in James 3, verses 9 and 10. And it says, with it, meaning our mouth, with it, we bless our Lord and Father. We sing praises, right? We just did that. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. And then he tells us, my brethren, our church, things ought not to be this way. Amen. I think James, when he wrote this, man, he must have been thinking about me. He had me in mind. I'm going to write this for Scott one day down the road, thousands of years. He's going to read this, and he's going to realize that, yeah, he got to watch. You know, it's not like I swear like how I used to, but it's like still yet things can come out of my mouth that doesn't build up. How strange the tongue is that we are able to speak and sing praises to our Lord every Sunday. And the moment we leave church, the moment somebody steals our parking stall, cuts us off, the fish comes off the hook halfway up the cliff. Oh, the cursing. We should have that same attitude of respect with our fellow human beings as we do for God. Because our fellow brothers and sisters are created in whose image? In God's image. And we shouldn't be doing that. In James 3:2, indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. James did not point fingers at the offenders without including himself. We all stumble in many ways. And you know what? Nothing seems to trip a believer more than that dangling tongue. If a believer is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect. He is mature and complete, James says. He's able to bridle his tongue, his whole body. Spiritual maturity requires that tamed tongue. Look at Job 16. Job answered, I have heard many such things. Sorry, comforters are you all. He's talking about his friends. Remember his friends were trying to console him? He called them a sorry bunch of guys. Is there no limit to your windy words? What plagues you that you answer? I too could speak like you if I were in your place. I could compose words against you and shake my head at you. I could strengthen you with my mouth, and the soleness of my lips could lessen your pain. Man, he was looking at his friend, and he was like, well, his so-called friends, says, like, man, you guys are so disappointing counselors, so-called friends. They turned out to be Job. They told Job nothing new. They were like, you know, he was suffering, and they didn't comfort him at all. I think they were more like putting salt on his wounds. They compounded his problems rather than eased his troubles. They babbled with long-winded speeches and arguments. And, you know, sometimes we can do that. This is what we need to do with our words. We need to stop complaining, and we need to start edifying. Sometimes I catch myself in a mood and I complain about every little thing. And when I catch myself, I realize what I'm doing. And I quickly pray that because I don't like to be a complainer. I don't like to be a whiner. How many of you like to be a whiner? How many of you know whiners? How many of you work with them? How many of you have, you know, you ever had your child, you know, you go to the store and say, please, 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 I want this. Please. You know, after a while, sometimes if you listen to yourself, you may sound just like that. Ephesians 4:29, and this is, we can use this for all of us. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You know, I think we could just, if we could remember this, practice it, learn it, and think every time we're ready to say something, think, let no, zero, unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Man, I think this world would be a better place. Amen? We need to edify and educate. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think there's a connection, yeah, between your heart and your mouth. Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in that day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." One of the best ways we can make sure our speech is truthful and fruitful is to use the words that are found in the Bible. And that's why, you know, it's good for us to read Scripture, to memorize Scripture, so that when the moment is right, we can recite Scripture to help people. Isaiah 55, 10, 11 tells us what the words will do. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, furnishing the seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now get this here. "So my word," written in the Bible, "be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which it was sent." Sometimes, you know, the word of God, like they said, it is so powerful. And when it's spoken, it will accomplish what it was set out for. It's not going to come back empty. Amen? What kind of fruit are your words bearing? I mean, would you like your words to bear good fruit? Will it bring life or death? Think about that. You know, before I started coming to church, this is when I was really, really rotten. And I got to tell you this story. And my older daughter reminds me of this quite often. She was probably like 2 or 3 years old. And her and I were home alone. I was up on the roof working, doing stuff. And I came downstairs to find out that she said, "Daddy, Daddy, I made you lunch." 2 years old now. She got my best tomatoes that I was saving and a whole bunch of canned goods, and she mixed everything up in this big bowl. Totally unedible. Totally. And I blew up. I got mad, like, "You wasted my tomatoes." And, you know, it brought her to tears. Think about it. My words just, like, stabbed her in the gut with a knife and just twisted it around. And she, when she tells me that story to this day, she cries. And she makes me cry. I didn't know any better. I was dumb. I was stupid. My words were just destroyed. It just destroyed her. Maybe that's why nowadays she doesn't want to cook. She doesn't like to cook. She doesn't bake that much. Maybe she remembers the word that brought death. And if you think, you can throw stones at me later on, because I deserve to be taken out in that yard. And not stone, but throwing rocks at, because I don't want to go out there and get stoned, but you can stone me later. But, I mean, you think about it. A 2-year-old child just trying to make her daddy happy, and the words that came out of my mouth, it was awful. And so if your child is trying to do that, I'm not saying you have to eat the food, but don't condemn them. And it was terrible, and she reminds me of it, and she enjoys reminding me of it. Yeah, and no doubt back then, that words that came out of my mouth didn't glorify God, didn't edify her, but it just brought death. Nothing good about it. Nothing good. No, I mean, absolutely nothing was just terrible. Proverbs 15:4, "Gentle words are a tree of life." I wish I knew that back then. "A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Sometimes maybe you need to just eat your steak without salt and see how it tastes. Or eat your scrambled eggs or whatever, you eat your food without salt, just to know that sometimes our words are like that. You ever ate stuff without salt? It's just not good at all, man. And poor thing, some of you like Uncle Yuki, he cannot eat stuff with salt. Oh, and he's like, man, and you know, Thursday mornings we're eating breakfast and doing devotions, and he's eating one scrambled egg and one scoop of rice. And I'm eating corned beef hash with all that salt and eggs and shoyu and ketchup. And it tastes so good. And I look at him like, wow. Imagine sometimes our words are like that without salt. So we need to make our speech to others, it's like seasoned with salt. I mean, like you put too much salt, no good. So you gotta just right. The spoken word would be the communication method that we should use, that believers should be wise in how we speak to one another. Not just on Sunday now, because I know Sunday, you guys, your words are perfect. But what about when you leave? What about when you go home? So this is the thing. How? This is the application part. How can I change what I say? And the answer is not duct tape, okay? Duct tape over your mouth. Matthew 15:18. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. So this is what it is. We got to change what we put into our heart. Amen? Now, if you keep doing your devotions every day, right, you are putting good stuff into your heart. You keep doing that, and eventually all the junk will get cut out and put away. You know, your daily devotions, your daily word, you deposit it. Not just let it go into your brain and stay there, but drop it down 18 inches into your heart. Luke 6:45. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. The evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So the thing is, we got for us to change what we say, it starts from the inside out. Amen? It starts from what we choose to put in our heart. Now, you can begin to practice using your words, what you say, to build up, not tear down, to encourage, not to discourage, to heal, not to wound, to love, not to hate. You know that the words that you choose to speak every day are so powerful that your words could lead somebody to everlasting life. It can do that. Or it could turn them away from it, which we don't want to even go there. But sometimes when we say things and people hear us, it might do that. But your words are not just things that come out of your mouth, but they are so powerful that it can bring life. It can cause death. So I ask you today, and this is something that you can start from now for the rest of your life, is think before you speak. How many of you speak then think? Yeah, and you know, we get into trouble like that. But start filling your heart with good things, the word of God. And then watch what you say, because eventually when you keep filling your heart with the word, then your speech would be coming out in a different way, would be glorifying God. And isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that one way we want to grow? To let our words save lives. Amen? You may put away your notes right now.
Let's thank Pastor Scott. Thank you, Pastor Scott. The bug is sore, no? Sometimes, yeah. Oh man, I feel like I don't usually sit in the front now, but when I sit in front here, I told you, I feel like he was talking directly to me. Lucky my wife knows it. She wouldn't elbow me the whole time. I would end up with sore ribs, I think. You know, we here at New Hope East Hawaii, our goal is the kingdom of God. And when we say that our goal is the kingdom of God, it's to further the kingdom of God. And the way we further the kingdom of God is we inform you with the information that you need to know that you could be saved. And when you become saved, we further you even more that you would become a disciple. And in order for, you know, Paul put it one way. He says, how are they to know unless someone tells them? Because prior to that is the famous scripture in Romans 10 where he says that if you believe and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord died for our sins, then you are saved. And he says later in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the world may tell you that, you know, just have faith. Have faith in this. So if you believe God exists, then you're saved. Or, oh, you know, if you attend church and mass so many times a week, you're saved. If you participate, you are saved. You know, the Bible doesn't say that at all. You know, you could attend church for 20 years and not be saved. You could attend churches and serve and all these things, but the way to be saved is to believe that Jesus Christ came, died for our sins, and rose again. So we'd like to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. I'd like you to bow your heads and say this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that my sin requires punishment. But I believe that Jesus died for my sins, rose again, and gave me eternal life. I thank you for your son Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior. Now, if you said this prayer for the first time and meant it, I would ask that you would raise your hand with your heads closed, or your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you could raise your hand, if you said it for the first time, thank you for your hands. Thank you. Lord, you have seen the hands that went up. Father, we thank you for your word because your word is truth and your word is power. Father, we ask that those who we have seen their hands, that we would be able to disciple them, that we would teach them how to walk and talk and serve you. Father, we thank you for this blessed day, and we ask that you would continue to grow, teach us, and keep us. We love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody stand. Let's close in worship.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keauhou, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.